B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maserati on an agenda-free Friday. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Big Jim Murray alongside. We got Tim McCone in our update studios. And again, Felger Maz is presented by DraftKings, both here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston, where we simulcast across New England and the country every single day. Back to your phones as promised. Alan in Florida on the Mookie Betts situation. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. You know, you just said it, Mike. This is the most. I'm in Boston now. I came in for the weekend. You know, you talk to people. People want to boycott. They're so embarrassing. It's almost a disgrace. I mean, I don't know what's going on in the city. You got a guy like that wonderful, good-looking John Tomasi saying the Red Sox are going to really, again, it's going to be a great trade for them. You might not think it now. I mean, what kind of an imbecile? I mean, this is ridiculous. They should try and void this trade. I don't think they realize the backlash they're going to get from trading one of the top two or three or four players in all of baseball for garbage, and they don't even know that the pitcher can't pitch. He weighs a balloon, weighs close to 300 pounds. I mean,
Alan, it looks worse by the minute.
It really does. So now there's a snag in the deal, and it's going to go through, but there's a snag in the deal because the fat pitcher from the Twins has a dead arm and an addiction to ice cream. The outfielder from the Dodgers might be a creep and a straight-up bad guy, and he also has an injury too. So common sense would dictate that the Red Sox cut off this deal. And what do fans want them to do? You listen to Alan, and I think, you know, the outcry locally and even nationally, for at least from, you know, those that cover the league, take a mulligan. Call off the deal. Bring back Mookie Betts, and if it doesn't work and the season goes sideways, then you trade him at the trade deadline. But I think with the way this offseason has gone, you owe it to your fan base to at least put a winning product, a product that can actually compete for a World Series championship, on the field. And they're doing anything but. They just come off as tone-deaf idiots again.
Okay, so I think they just look bad because pretty much the whole world knew the deal with this Graterol. They knew the physical problems. They knew that he was projected as a reliever. They knew about the weight. If you just look at him, you can see the weight. And it's like the Twins hid nothing. Everyone knew his fallings and failings. And then he gets here after the trade and you say, oh, there's some physical issues and we think he's a reliever. Well, no, duh. The whole world knew he was, you know, those things. But you want something extra?
Right.
So pound sand.
It's disingenuous or it's dumb. And either way, it's a bad look.
It's a ridiculous look. Like, anyone can come up with anything like that if they want. If they look at an MRI long enough, it would be, I'll just say it again, the converse would be the Dodgers showing up today and going, you know, we took a look at this David Price MRI and we see there's a little something on his wrist. Do you have a cyst there or something? It's like,
why is this elbow so unique?
No kidding. He missed months for it. Well, but we just found out about it now, so we're going to want a little something extra for you, from you. And you would say, screw you. The whole world knew about this. Well, that's the same thing with this Graterol. And I just think it looks like they didn't do their due diligence, or they're just being weasels about the whole thing.
They can't get out of their own way.
Seriously.
Every single thing that they do. It's like the reverse Midas touch. It all turns to crap. It really does.
Is the players union now getting involved with something?
Yeah, so the Angels owner is pissed right now because his deal for Jock Peterson is being held up by this Mookie Betts disaster. And now the Players Association just released a statement essentially saying you need to resolve this now. It's not fair to the players that this is being held up and they're in limbo here right now.
Oh my God, they're going to look so bad. No one's giving in. The Twins and the Dodgers are saying, screw you. You knew exactly what you were getting. Everything was up front. Everyone knew about this guy. No sale. You don't get anything. And now the Red Sox either have to just accept it as it is, which, oh boy, do they look like chumps, or they have to walk away.
What idiots.
And then they have to bring David Price and Mookie Betts back into this locker room.
Like, well, Betts I would gladly take back. Price, not so much.
Oh my God. Like, they can't. They cannot get out of their own way. Bill in New Hampshire on the Celts. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I've been listening to you guys the whole week about the moves the Celtics should have made. And I'm one of those Celtics fans, and I'm happy that they didn't make a move. I was frustrated last year when I had to suffer through Kai Dush bagging it on certain games and going through the the season, you know, wondering whether I'm going to get a full player or half a player. At least this team is exciting to watch. They're not throwing in the towel. They're playing hard for a full four quarters.
Hey, Bill, can I stop you? So why would improving on Brad Wanamaker or Grant Williams or Semi Ojeleye or Javonte Green, if you could get an upgrade there, how would that change any of the things you just said?
I can see the point.
Okay.
I can see the point. I mean, I'm honest. I'm not going to be intellectually dishonest with you guys. I'll concede the point. I'm just saying you're concerned about the fact that the Sultans didn't make a move. I'm happy that they didn't make a move because I want to see what this team can do. And the previous guy who was on before, was that Gasper?
Yep.
Because he brought up Anthony Davis's name, and we were all, you know, fulminating over the fact that Anthony Davis was, you know, coming to the, you know, wanting to get him to come to the Celtics. And then when he went to the Lakers, he would sign with the Lakers. So the fact of the matter is, he hasn't signed yet.
Okay, what, you think Anthony Davis is still a chance here? Like, let's leave that to the side. Delusional. Thank you for the call. I mean, it jumped on your throat, but please. No one here on this show anyway was, I think, expecting them to do anything that altered the core. But could you improve around the edges? Because I happen to think you're close to Milwaukee. And just in a seven-game series, you're not going to catch them in the regular season. But in a seven-game series, you're close. And one little move could be the difference in getting past Milwaukee into the NBA Finals. And so you make a move on the fringes, on the edges, on the margins, because you have this surplus of picks, and you have these holes at the end of your bench. So could you do something there to improve your club?
They absolutely could have and should have. And part of it, it's something Chris said when he first was on in the last hour. I hate to think that they're like they've convinced themselves now because the bench has been playing so well in this stretch here the last couple of weeks that this is what the bench is. They're just going through a hot stretch right now. Because otherwise, like they're inconsistent. Brad Wanamaker, he's inconsistent. They have issues with scoring coming off the bench. It's literally cost them games that stretches during the season, and especially when they were in a bad way about a month and a half ago. So I hope they're not looking at it now and be like, no, this is who they really are. We don't need to improve it. Because you did.
Oh, and meanwhile, three more players headed to Maine next year. Like, for what?
Claws up, everyone.
Tom and Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, this whole Mookie Betts debacle, right? Bloom looks like an absolute clown. Either way this plays out. So either he sucks it up and takes the fat kid with the bad shoulder and just get the thing done, or he calls it quits and yanks these two back. Me personally, I would yank it back, and that's going to make the rest of the league look at him going, well, who the hell is going to deal with you?
Exactly.
You're a friggin' idiot. But as far as bringing them back, Mike, there's no reason, there's no stopping them from sending Price out on an independent deal.
I agree.
He doesn't have to be a package play. So if you decide that you're going to pull Betts and Price back, you still talk to, you know, the top 10 minor league, the top 10 MLB teams that have the best farm systems about the Mookie Betts move. It looks like you're going to have to keep them at least till All-Star break, trade deadline. You talk to the rest of baseball and say, listen, the rest of you guys know we're willing to eat half of Price's money. We're still willing to do that. We don't even need a top 10 prospect back. What can you do? Get him off the team, because that guy, I'm sorry, is going to be an effing nightmare in the clubhouse if you bring him back and not move him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right. He would think about it. If he knew he had to end up having to come back here, what kind of a mental case would he be?
This thing is how this has evolved in terms of that the pitcher's name. Like, I mean, no one could figure out the name. Gratterall. How do you pronounce it? Who it is? What, you know, what's his name again? That guy. Everyone has just moved past trying to remember the name and gone straight to the fat kid with the bad shoulder or Mr. Six Scoops of ice cream.
Yeah, Senior Six Scoops.
Senior Six Scoops. Like, now he's the fat kid with the bad shoulder, or the fat kid with the eating problem, or the fat kid who eats ice cream, or like, no one's even bothered. We don't even have to remember the name. He's the fat kid with the bad shoulder. Oh my God, what a team. Seriously. Mike and Woburn, your thoughts.
How about 31 flavors? look, you know, they've had bad deals before. This team has sort of stepped on their junk in trades before, like, you know, the Pomerantz deal when they got medicals that were apparently done in crayon. All this information on these guys was all they needed to do was have the chain bot have run a Google search on each one of these guys, and they would have found out this stuff.
That's right.
All right. But the big deal here to me is they're still going to go through with this. They're trying to weasel the 10th overall like prospect out of Minnesota, because it's not about what the return is. It's about they need to get these guys off the books now, because they can't keep them until the trade deadline because of the way that luxury tax is calculated.
Right, it'll go over before then.
They'll go over before then, exactly. So they're stuck. They're stuck. They have to deal them now for damaged goods.
And now,
and that is the worst thing that you can say to your fans.
And not just that. Now they have to save face from this Fakakta injury thing, right? They have to, like, they have to get something. Even if it just says future considerations, otherwise they look like the biggest jackasses. You're going to make this big stink about this non-existent, you know, or what you should have known. I mean, it's existing, but you know what I mean. This made-up injury concern. And you're going to, and then just 2 days later say, all right, never mind, give us the players. You look like such a chump.
Yeah, Chaim Bloom, this looks like a complete fool.
Like, was there something wrong with the pitcher or not? Was there something wrong with the injury reports or not? Is there something really wrong with him or not? Because if you just now walk away and say, never mind, we'll just take the players, you've been totally exposed as just trying to make something out of nothing. So it's like now they have to save face on this thing on top of saving face on the original trade of those guys in the first place.
It's unbelievable how this franchise can do something like this. From going to from winning the World Series in the last 18 months to being the laughingstock of Major League Baseball.
Seriously. Now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy has an injury problem and you think he's a reliever. When Minnesota has been saying for years,
he's got an injury issue and he's a reliever.
I mean, the Red Sox. Seriously. We haven't had any Bruins talk today. Let's do it now. Quickly, Tim in Nashville, what do you got?
Michael, your comments yesterday about McAvoy not producing, I'm interested to see how you see the ice. I mean, I see him making up for Chara so much that there's no way he could possibly overcome that. And I equate that to the Bruins not making a move back there because of, you know, they don't want, for some reason, they don't want to get rid of Chara. And I'm wondering, what do you think they could possibly do? Could they move Chara to another pairing?
Well, so my point is, you know, I don't think it's a problem because I think their goals against are great and they're a good defensive team.
You just meant it from an offensive standpoint.
I'm just saying from an overall analysis of the team. I went into the season and saying, if Charlie McAvoy doesn't make a big move, they're in trouble. They need him to emerge as their clear number one defenseman, offensively, defensively, franchise defenseman, Norris consideration, that kind of guy. He's got to start to round into that player or else they're in deep trouble. And he hasn't rounded into that player. He's had a nice season. He's good defensively. But he scored one flipping goal. I mean, one. And so he hasn't made that jump that I thought he would make, and yet the team is still the best record in hockey. So I'm just saying that didn't pan out the way that I thought. And I still do think eventually I'd like to see him be that guy. It'll probably come when he stops playing with Chara, because that's you're playing in defensive spots against other teams' good lines. You're defending first, offensive second. You are probably having to cover for Chara speed-wise. But you know, I think though, in terms of big picture Bruins consideration, he's got to be that guy. He's got to be your franchise defenseman. So we continue this hour with your wonderful phone calls. Back to you after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let me continue with your thoughts here on an agenda-free Friday. We've got Jeff in Merrimack on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Jeff. Jeffrey.
What's going on, guys? So, yeah, what's going on? A couple things. First off, I actually agree with Maz saying we needed to trade Betts and Price to make this work, but the return was going to suck either way. I mean, I don't see how getting a reliever is that bad. we can't seem to get anybody who can throw 100 and throw strikes back there anyway. So just take the fat kid and put him back closer. I don't really care. Second thing was, Murray, you are such a fraud saying that the Red Sox need to put on a competitive product every single year, even with the luxury tax thing, and then you're hoping for the Pats to go 4-12 without Brady. Like, how is that even apples to apples? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
I don't get the second thing. You can answer.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know. I don't really know what he means. I just want to see. I'm not looking for the Patriots to go 4-12.
The answer is he feels how he feels. That's it. Wants one team to do this, the other team to do that.
And I thought that this year's team was mostly overrated, and they ended up finishing the way that they probably should have finished. And at this point, if it's going to look how it looked, McCone, this year, I would rather see them go their separate ways. I want to see a re-energized Brady on a different team, and I want to see Belichick try to win with another quarterback.
I want to see a re-energized Brady on this team with weapons, actually give him the players to be successful, and the Patriots will re-energize you, Murray.
Maybe. Maybe.
We got Dave in the car on the cell. Hi, David.
Guys, you guys are giving me a headache here. What is the show's main thesis on what is important in the NBA that you've jammed down our throats for the last 5 years? What is it?
I don't know. You tell me.
Top-end talent, top three, big three, big three, top three, big three. Now you guys care about replacing Brad Wanamaker. How did we get there? Could you please connect those dots for me, Felger?
So you're saying you should never make a trade to improve the depth of your team?
Is that what I just said?
What, is that what we've ever said?
No. But all of a sudden, that's the difference in us taking the leap over the bus is adding a guy that is going to be eighth or ninth on our team. That's what you guys are saying.
It might.
Okay.
It might.
So tell me what the Celtics' biggest problem. You keep saying, this is what makes me just go batty. Somebody reports that Washington wants 2 first-round picks, and you guys just assume that because we have them, that Ainge is going to call up and say, hey, I have the picks that are going to probably be 27 and 30, and the deal is just done. Like, Washington can't be like, hey, no, actually, we want the Memphis pick, and we want a pick 3 years
down. You think there was nothing for him to do? You think there was nothing that Ainge could have done? Nothing.
That's not what I'm saying, Mike, but Ainge is a good GM. So if I trust him. I trust that. If they were over asking for a guy,
so why the point? So Dave, what's a point in even engaging in a talk show or a discussion? Because you just trust what he's going to do. So if you're not going to second guess what he's going to do or wonder what he's going to do, I don't understand why you're participating. It's just wait to see what Danny does, and you trust him. So that's that. That's fine.
But Mike, why don't you guys have one guy in the show that actually can take the other point of view and say, you know what, the team hasn't been healthy. That when they are healthy, forget about scoring. When they are healthy, there is enough scoring on this team. Davis Bertans, 2 months of Davis Bertans, is he going to guard Embiid and Giannis? Do we need another scorer on the team? I don't think we do.
Dave,
I understand that you guys want to add to the bench, right? I believe, and there are a faction of fans out there that aren't green teamers that think that the guys that you need to throw at those guys, Embiid and Giannis, are on the roster. They're just not healthy. Or Grant Williams is a young guy that's getting more comfortable every game. Why would they give up a pick in the teens for 2 months of a guy that doesn't solve the problem?
Why would you keep more picks in the teens? But, Dave, to answer your question, we do have people who disagree and take the other side. You, the callers.
The people.
People. So,
and maybe he, and so, all right, so maybe
but,
he.
But hold on. So, but Dave's the guy. I haven't heard from him in a while. Thanks for calling back in. Dave's the guy that if he did swing the trade for Bertans would tell us about what a great pickup this is. So
typically,
it's like, so you trust Ainge and whatever he does, you're going to sort of ride with, which is fine. But that doesn't make for much of a talk show, man. It doesn't make for much of a discussion. Like, what's the point? Just wait to see what he does and support it.
And look,
great.
And I can understand.
Enjoy the 17th, 26th, and 30th pick. And enjoy. It's not that far to drive. How far is the Portland drive? What is it like?
You can get there in about an hour and a half. Hour
and a half. Red Claws are in first place in the G League. It's the greatest developmental team you'll ever see because they hoard. It's hoarder Danny. All he does is hoard these picks and stuff them up in Maine. So enjoy the Red Claws title.
Yeah, even though Ainge hasn't done much of the trade deadline in, like, pretty much forever, I understand you want to, you know, and Danny you trust, fine. Where I break from Dave in the car is where, so he's talking about, you know, you're going to get guys back, they've been injured. I feel like he's talking about Robert Williams. Like, I'm not willing to go there and trusting that Robert Williams is going to be able to come back and actually help this team because he's always hurt. And anytime you get an update on him, it's seemingly something worse with that hip, whatever the hell it is, a hip edema, whatever it is. It sounds to me the kid has the hip of an 80-year-old man. When he's been out there, he's looked all right. But I don't know. I think it's a big ask right now.
The irony is that I like this team. I think they're good, and I think Ainge is good. And I think if you put that together and have Ainge try and help the team, they could be even better. But whoops, sorry. I guess you don't want that. Meanwhile, what's been proven is that Danny does not believe in this team because he wasn't willing to help him. But I guess he never does. Mick Bowen, you looked up something today about Ainge at the deadline?
Yeah, well, in terms of teams, when he has a competitive team going into the postseason, the last move he's made for one of those teams was the Jeff Green, Kendrick Perkins deal. Like, obviously, the Isaiah Thomas one happened at the deadline, but that wasn't a team that anyone had any belief in. So the last time he's had a contender and gone out and made a big move,
oh, that was such a disaster.
That was the Kendrick Perkins, Jeff Green trade.
And that was such a bad trade. Maybe he's scarred by it. Maybe he's gunshot. Maybe Trader Danny. Maybe he had a little shrinkage there because he blew that deal. Because you had a chance to win another championship and he cost you there with being too bold. And so maybe now he's gotten to the deadline and is sort of...
got gun shy.
He's gotten gun shy. The old Billy the Kid has got the shakes.
Got the shakes.
Huh. That's it's interesting because you're right. The last deadline deal was Isaiah, but that was a middling team. That wasn't a...
And no one expected Isaiah Thomas to be what he was when he got here.
Maybe he's gotten gun shy.
Into.
Peter in Norwood. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Michael. Usually I'm calling on the superior product NFL, but I got a quick one on the Red Sox.
So
I guess everybody else is dumping on him, so it's my turn. So in terms of money they're spending on players next year and kind of why they have to dump right now and they're under the situation of the luxury tax, Ruisne Castillo, 14.2. Dustin Pedroia, $13 million. Pablo Sandoval, $5 million. $32 million on guys that will never see the field. So it's really, that's the reason why they're handcuffed in the next 2 months.
Okay, so Castillo doesn't count against the luxury tax.
No.
Sandoval's gone.
He'll never come back up, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that you're not, I mean, their past money management has put him there. It's just not the specifics you're talking about. Pete in Westminster with an interesting point. Go ahead, Peter.
What are you doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Hey, boys, how you doing? Happy Friday. What's going on?
What do you got?
So, real quick, I haven't really heard anybody talk about this, and it's kind of a question that I've thought about a couple times. This trade has gone down really bad for the Red Sox, and one thing I've noticed is that there's no GM involved. Alex Cora is not involved. They haven't put Renicki in it or anything. It's just the uppers making these decisions. If you think this trade would have gone differently, if there was a GM or if Alex Cora had any input on how it was going
to
go down?
No. Manager has nothing to do with it. And Heim Bloom's the GM. They just given
just
him one of these
fancy name.
New the nerd title.
Chief Baseball Officer.
They've ruined even that. Right? they've even that made that more boring.
Right.
The title of the GM. But I don't even like... this feels like so Red Sox to me that predates Heim Bloom. I mean, they've been doing crap like this for a long time. Oh, they must look so bad in the league right now. Seriously, to the point where the Angels owner is saying, what are you guys doing? And the player's head is now saying...
just look at the way that some of the guys like Bob Nightingale, who covers Major League Baseball for USA Today, are writing about them. Like, this is a salary dump. They look like idiots. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but this is how they're writing about it. This is what they look like. This is how they're being talked about.
Well, not just that. Trying to hold up the deal now on the medicals for a pitcher whose medical problems were well known to everybody. That thing is now blowing up in their face. Where, again, Tony Clark, the union head, is saying, what's going on? The Angels owner is saying, this ain't right. And they're all looking at the Red Sox saying, what are you doing? Everybody knew about this guy's medical problems. No one hid anything from anyone. If you didn't want him, why'd you put him in the deal? So we put him in the deal. We have a deal. We're all ready to go. We got 3-4 different teams here waiting for you to what? Try and rest out another prospect because you're getting grief back home? Cut the crap.
It's been one of the great consistencies, though, in my life, being born and raised around here. The Red Sox eventually will do something really, really stupid.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, no matter how...
just give it time.
No matter how well it's going.
Never thought they'd win a title, let alone four. But just give it time. They'll screw something up.
Oh, my God.
And this... what a week. Holy crap.
So the very latest on the Betts thing comes your way right now in the update with Tim McCone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Do you believe this team can win a championship this year?
Yes, I do think that we can. And, you know, I think a lot of things have to go our way, but I think our team is, you know, it's surpassed my expectations, and that's why I don't ever, you know, give prognostications before the season starts or during the season, because it doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what my players think and my coaches believe. And but I think that the fact that right now we're sitting here as the number three defense in the NBA at 50 games through the season is amazing to me. I think that's a fantastic accomplishment. I think our team is even getting better. And we haven't even been healthy. We haven't had some of our best defensive players out there healthy for long stretches of the season so far. So I'm optimistic about this group of guys, absolutely.
Ainge on this morning on TNR. Again, I think they're putting a lot of eggs in Robert Williams' basket. That's the guy. That's the key to the team. That's the key. When he said we haven't been healthy, that's who he's talking about.
That's who everyone's talking about. It's just great. There's okay. upside there when the kid can actually play.
I mean, my God. Meanwhile, hoard all those first-round picks and don't get some insurance on him or something that could help you somewhere. Just keep stashing guys up in Maine or the end of your bench. Crazy, I think. And I thought Danny Ainge sort of tipped off that he had a rental available for multiple first-round picks, but he didn't want to do it. Jimmy, do you have that cut? The value of the first round picks, the 25-second one. This morning on TNR.
We were willing to part with them. We talked about many deals that involved all three of our picks, one of our picks, two of our picks, even four of our picks. So we're not afraid to trade draft picks. There just wasn't the deal that, you know, I don't want to give up a multiple draft picks for a rental player who is going to be our ninth man. Ultimately was what it comes down to.
Okay, that last part I don't get.
Right, and he tips his hand there that he's talking about Bertans of Washington, because the ask was multiple picks, two first-round picks, according to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer. So even if you dealt two, Danny, you still have one.
And trust me, he's going to suck too.
Right, yeah, given where you're going to be drafting, he'll also be in Maine next year.
They're all going to suck. They're all going to suck. So if I've had three sucky players, you'll have one.
And so it comes back to, and this is where I get frustrated, and I think it comes back to he can't live with the narrative of that, well, it was good for both teams. Like, if we were to make a deal, or Danny might have actually lost this deal because Bertans is on an expiring contract. He always has to win. It feels right. That way to me.
No, it's a good point. The industry now, those first-round picks are valuable to those GMs. Cost certainty, rookie contracts in a cap league, luxury tax implications, all of it. So those GMs like those first-round picks, and now there's value on those first-round picks. So
he can't live with other GMs like tisking
exactly.
Him, like, oh, I wouldn't have made that move.
So now Danny sends two of them for a rental, and all the other GMs go, Danny, those picks are valuable now. So he's sort of overpaying per the industry standard, and he doesn't want to be that guy. He wants to win every deal, like you said. I think that's fair.
And what Chris did it too. When you attach names and you look at who has been drafted in those areas or who the Celtics have taken with some of these first-round picks in recent years, oh, it's just putrid. Like, they're so overvalued. You know, you hear first round pick, like, oh, can't move that. But then you would, you know, go through some of the names, and it's like, oh, Jesus, why would you hang on to them?
So, and another reason why I think it's all about Robert Williams is the scout cut that we played earlier from the NBC Sports Boston draft. These poor bastards. Every year they do a trade deadline show. Every year they do a special trade deadline show, and every year Danny Ainge has them holding their schmenzer in their hands, as I like to say. So, like, why do we bother doing the show, guys? He never does anything. He's Hoarder Danny. Hoarder Danny! They're going to be piled from the floor to the ceiling.
They call him the Stan Pat King.
So, let's see. This is Mike Gorman, who is playing his role. He's glad they did nothing. He didn't want to trade Javonte Green. He didn't want to trade anyone. not anyone in Boston or anyone in Maine, because he likes the chemistry on this team. So Gorman is glad, but Scal jumps in here. Listen to this cut.
No moves.
Yep.
The Celtics do nothing.
Nothing.
Same roster.
Same roster.
Everybody's coming back. No trades. No fireworks.
Couldn't be happier. No,
exactly. Couldn't Tell me happy. About it. Why?
Well, why mess up a good thing? They got a good thing going right now. They're playing better basketball in the last 2 or 3 weeks than they played in a long time. People are starting to get healthy again. They've still only had, 10, 11 games where they've had everybody together. Why mess this up? I mean, these guys have shown that they can play. I think they're an Eastern Conference final team.
Mm. You agree, Scott?
If Robert Williams gets healthy, then yes, we can have this conversation. But I'm disappointed they didn't get a rim runner. But I got confirmation today that they do expect Robert Williams to come back. Right. They do expect him to be as near to 100%, and they do not expect this hip issue to linger on. This is the one area of concern I have with this team. Having a rim running big just adds another tool to the belt, and now you can run offense just a little bit differently when you have certain type of defensive centers on the floor.
So who was the rim running big that was out there that
Capella,
they didn't get?
Capella.
So Scal wanted Capella. He understands the cost was too much. So do I. But, boy, they're putting a lot on Robert Williams. 51 career games, 22-year-old kid.
And it's been the same.
It's a huge ask.
And it's also been the same reporting on Robert Williams here for weeks. Weeks. He's progressing. We anticipate, him to be back, fill in the blank. Like, all right, so now they're looking at the beginning of March is the latest, right? Like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And I'll believe, the hip's not an issue when I see him out there consistently game after game.
I think it's dangerous to say, just do something. And I typically aren't that guy, but I was that guy yesterday. Just do something. Improve your team. You're closer than you think. You're closer than, the Bucks are vulnerable, whether you want to believe it or not. You're close to them. Even just a move on the margins could be the difference of one game in a 7-game series and going to the NBA Finals. You have this surplus of draft picks, a surplus of young guys that just don't fit for you long term. Do something and improve yourself in the here and now, and he punted. Because, I'll say it again, he doesn't really believe in the team, which is too bad. All right, so there's your Celtics reset. Back to your calls. As promised, Ben in Boston with the Red Sox thought. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going? My big thing right now, I think, for the Red Sox is screw this Gatorade ice cream eater and just take on Maeda. He's got $3 million a year. You can slash that contract price into what we're giving up for price right now. Have them take on $19 million. Call it even. Just get it done with. Don't have to worry about anything else.
Well, that's interesting. Just take Kenta Maeda.
Why would the Twins give him up?
No, he's on L.A. Maeda went from L.A. to Minnesota, and the Minnesota sent Gatorade here. So that was the triangle there.
I just thought he ended up staying with Minnesota.
Just take Minnesota out of it altogether. I don't know if they can. I mean, fine with me. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Part of this, to me, felt like Andrew Friedman pantsing his old his old minion in Chaim Bloom, and I doubt he would do that.
Despite the weight and the affinity for ice cream and the problems with the pitch, I like the fact that he throws 100. I think the Red Sox could use a few more guys.
That's always sustainable, though.
Well, then fine. I mean, I just think you should have a system where you've got a bunch of young kids who throw 100, and you see if a couple can find the strike zone, and you cycle them through, and you keep bringing them up and bringing them through. I like the
idea. Trade Betts and Price to St. Louis, then. They got these bearded guys who throw 100.
Constant stream of bearded nobodies on steroids coming up through that team, throwing 100 miles an hour at someone different every year. But just have that have your system be like that. I don't know why more teams don't do that. We've got Mike in North Attleboro. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I'm calling about the Mookie Betts trade. I know it was either right before or right after it came out that the Angels acquired Jock Peterson from the Dodgers. And I apologize if you guys have covered this, but I don't understand how the Red Sox can't get him in the deal. Conversations had to have been made about that. Why isn't Jock Peterson involved?
He probably cost too much money.
Peterson's going to be an $8 million player. I think that was his arbitration number.
Too much.
I can't have that.
They need minimum. The whole idea was to pare down payroll, get under the tax, and there you go. So $8 million I don't think helps you out. Simple as that.
Got to make sure I can buy Linda more Louis Vuitton.
Pete and Milton on the Sox. Hi, Peter.
Hey, by the way, Fanny Danny, I think, is a good new nickname because he sits on his ass and we're getting tired of it.
Hoarder Danny.
I love Agenda Free Friday. I really do, because I get to call in and tell you guys that I bumped into the PanMass Challenge winter cycle was at Fenway 2 weeks ago, bumped in, quite literally bumped into Chaim Bloom right outside the stadium. And he's an incredibly pleasant guy. And to be honest with you, I trust him with the team. The team was in such crap shape for the last 365 days to begin with. So I trust him with all my heart. And secondly, before I let you go, Lord knows you guys saw that Novak Djokovic won the Australian Open, and I guarantee you,
Pete, I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to let you get your tennis thing in.
He loves that tennis talk.
Even though it is a gender-free Friday, he tried to slip it in the backside. Yeah.
For three straight Fridays,
that is a tennis hippie right there, man. He is a zealot. He's a tennis zealot. Chase and Beverly on the Red Sox. Hi, Chase.
Hey, guys. So I grew up knowing and understanding that the Red Sox had one of the greatest reputations in all of baseball. Like, through the entire team's history, just, like, straight in your face, we're going to beat you fair and square. Like, this is what we got. And for the past 8 to 12 months, I feel like every time I wake up, I look in the paper, and the Red Sox are just making a fool of themselves, just day after day. And I'm kind of sick of it, to be honest. And I know they have a responsibility to put the most competitive team on the field, but at this point, I think they should just bite the bullet. I think they should just go through with the trade and, you know, lick their wounds and move on. I don't see what good it's going to do to pull their players, because at the very end of it, they're going to have the same problems they had before the deal went through, and it's going to create even more problems both internally and externally.
Yeah, I think
they're going through with it.
They're going to go through with it, and if they get nothing extra out of it, they're going to look like such fools.
And that's what's going to happen.
You know, it's like, okay, fine, just give us the players. Just give us the fat kid with the
bad shoulder.
Just give us the fat kid with the bad shoulder. Fine. And they're going to look like, and you know, the Angels and the Dodgers and the Twins and the Players Association are going to be sitting there going like, what
was this all about?
What
you
were
idiots?
You doing? Why were you wasting our time? What were you trying to pull right there, Red Sox? Oh, I mean, and so it's like now they almost have to hold out for something to save some face to make it actually look like they had something. When right now, I don't know if they do. Mike in Tewksbury and Tom Brady. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I just got one quick point at the beginning. Just people need to remember the 90s. John Henry is a good owner. And my main point, football is a business. Fans are the money. Bottom line, Tom Brady makes money. Slapping him in the face is bad just because it slaps the fans in the face, even if that's just how they see it. So follow that with three seasons of someone like Dalton, and you're looking at an empty stadium like the 90s again. It can happen faster than you think.
No, it can't. You're so wrong. The NFL makes money. The NFL makes money. It's not Tom Brady. It's the NFL.
I mean, they'll take a hit, PR hit, for sure, you know. But I'm with you. Like, overall, the place is still going to be packed.
Well, and I'm as long as Belichick's here, you're going to be a contender and a competitive team, and nothing's going to happen. If you...
And NFL Sunday's going to those games. It's an event. It's a whole thing.
Like, okay, but I do think, in terms of... This isn't like a football-rich market. It's not Pittsburgh. It's not Green Bay. It's not Dallas. It's not one of these places where football is ingrained in the culture. So, I mean, if you get into a run where you have no coaching and no quarterbacking and you go 10 straight years in the abyss, then I think maybe, yeah. I think you could see empty seats and blackout. Do they even do blackouts anymore?
I'm sure.
Do they blackout areas, like, games in Jacksonville? Like,
Tampa, I don't think they do it anymore.
When's the last time you heard about a blackout?
Years.
Do they do blackouts? But anyway, I think you could return to, not the nadir, but I think this would be a soft football market, but it would take a long time. It would take and it ain't going to happen. If Andy Dalton is your quarterback next year, here's a guarantee. McCone. When the red rifle, not the red rocket, that's something else. We'll talk about
down
that later.
Down.
If the red rifle is your quarterback next year and Bill Belichick is your coach, every seat to every game will be filled and sold, just like it is now.
Man, you are going to earn every penny when it's Josh Allen versus Andy Dalton in week 2 against Buffalo, Felger.
I'll love the crap out of that game. It's going to be actually a game to talk about as opposed to 42-10.
And I get mocked for liking bad football.
The ratings will be great. Every seat will be filled except for the red frauds who will be up, you know, drinking Chablis or whatever, as they usually are anyway. It'll be just the same. Now, when Bill goes and if the whole thing falls apart, then get back to me. But as long as Bill's here, you'll be fine, my young millennial. The final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, McBone.
Nobody. All right, agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Maz, but the majority of it spent on Mookie Betts since that deal has still not been completed.
Mookie Betts said 12 years, 420.
Yeah, so?
So he does have a number to return, right?
Yeah, no, I want to be here too. 12 and 420. You gonna give it to me?
I'm sorry, that ask is not that outrageous. If I were him, I would be asking for something just under Mike Trout.
He's not Mike Trout. If he wanted to say, don't you think he would have cut a deal?
I think that counter offer tells me that he would stay if they made him one of the highest-paid players in the game.
You don't think that $300 million makes him one of the highest-paid players in the game?
No. It puts him in a group of 6, 7, 8 guys well behind Trout.
Yeah, and that's where he belongs.
Okay, but
he's not Mike Trout.
But now you're talking about two different things.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. After this year, he will be the second highest-paid player in the game.
Probably. And it'll be a mistake.
So, but that, it's not a mistake for him to ask for it.
It's not a realistic number.
It's a totally realistic number.
It's not a realistic number.
Yes, he's going to get that number elsewhere.
You want to bet that right now?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Let's bet it right now.
Maybe not that exact number.
He's going to back at him at 12 and 420. He's not getting that.
He'll be the second highest paid player in the game.
Based on what, AAV or total value?
He's going to get one of these contracts. So he asked for one of those contracts.
Did you give it to him?
That's not best. That's not the point.
The point is, do you think he made an offer to the Red Sox that
before this, you said he doesn't want to come back here no matter what.
He doesn't.
He's going to get it.
Not from Boston, he's not.
Something tells me we're going in circles.
Yeah, and that happened twice during that same show.
It was
my
good.
Head was spinning.
You know who was the happiest kid in the world during that? Mark Capello.
And me.
And Stu.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys love conflict. Love screaming at each other. They spend all day screaming at each other. It's not so easy.
Yeah, it's amazing how successful it's been in the history of the radio medium.
It's not so easy, McBone. Speaking of
it's
screaming at each
easy.
Other.
What are you talking
shut
about?
Shut up. It's just time to go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes. We can fill. Why is it so tough?
It's not so fun.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.